Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, August 15th. My voice is so weird today, there's no bass. And I know people mess around with this, and I don't know what to do. How am I going to adjust this a little bit? Add some bass to my voice. I don't know how to do it. So we'll go on this way.
Yeah, it is missing.
Right? My voice is a little different.
Yeah.
Yours is okay, but they messed around with this microphone.
Well, you sound good to me, Sam.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
We're ready. We probably have like the coolest day of the summer today.
I was cold today.
Right?
I put
Last night I was freezing. I had to put a jacket on when I went to get something to eat. And I ran into some friends and stuff, so that was fun. But it was very chilly. Luckily, I had my jacket in my car. So how are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You getting ready for your shows this week?
I have a show tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. Remind us where it is.
It's at Flappers Burbank at 7. It's Wittiest Women show.
Okay. So that's in Burbank. You don't have to go all the way to Montclair or something. Where did you go last time?
It was Claremont.
Claremont, Montclair.
No, it's local.
Thing. Yeah.
Everyone's invited.
Yeah.
Bring your friends. Tell your parents.
Yeah, but no, go to Burbank. Burbank is a lot more fun and stuff. Did you end up going to that one?
Claremont?
One? Yeah.
No, I sat that one out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it never materialized. You didn't have to go there.
Yeah.
And deal with the humiliation of not being in Burbank.
That's okay.
I'm kidding.
I love Burbank. There's parking.
Yeah. There is. Burbank is cool, actually. There's a lot to do there.
Every fast food chain you could ever imagine is in Burbank.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And even not fast food chains, like, what do they have? They have all of them. Like, Hooters and Dave Buster's and, you know, it's all chains.
They're chains, yeah.
Right. So, yeah. Even Krispy Kreme, which you can't get hardly anywhere around this town anymore, they have one there.
Ooh.
One of the original ones.
There's so many other better donut places.
Really?
Than Krispy Kreme.
Which one, for example?
I want to try Trejo's Donuts. Have you tried that? Have you tried his donuts on
Hold on,
coffee?
He doesn't have his mic yet. We're going to bring our guest in just a minute.
There's also Glazed on Franklin.
Mm.
Kettle Glazed donuts.
Really? And those are good. Those
Anything mom and pop, I support. If it's like a corporate, I'm like...
But you can't beat the taste. I mean, it like melts in your mouth when you eat it hot. Okay.
I'll give it to the mom and pop.
It's funny that you have sort of like a philosophy behind daily decisions like that.
I mean, not everything, but like there's intention. You got to do things with intention.
So you're a conscious person.
I try to be conscious.
Yeah.
You know, like,
mm-hmm.
I try to, be conscious about it.
Yeah. Okay, well, that works for me. But I still love those donuts. What can I say? I haven't had a donut at a mom and pop. Well, actually, I did like a month ago or so. They have one here on Ventura Boulevard that's not bad. But there was a time when I used to love donuts when I first discovered them. When I came to America, you know. So I would eat all
those
winchels.
They don't have donuts in Israel?
Not really,
no.
No, not really. I mean, they have similar things. Sufganiyot, that's right. And that's only for Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still not the same shapes and all that, you know. So
you know what?
It's different.
I want to open up a weed and donut place in Israel then. I'll bring the
donut.
We've got to bring the cream to Israel.
Yeah, there you go. But it's not like they don't have enough desserts, you know, a lot of stuff from Europe and stuff like that.
You know? They got the good chocolate over there.
Yeah. In a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by our guest, who is another one of Rachel's cool friends. You always seem to bring cool friends, and that's cool.
He's an amazing comedian.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's
okay,
hilarious.
Cool. Well, we love funny stuff.
I just bring my friends. No, I bring, again, everything I do is with intention.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
there's thought behind it. So, just before that, though, well, there's a lot of shit in the news. I guess we're going to cover a lot of that stuff, even though I don't
really
feel
like it. It would be a good conversation today.
Yeah.
We didn't get to talk about it yesterday, but there's so much going on, I feel like, that's happening, that's already happened. Right. That'll be happening after, by the time this airs, it won't even matter.
Right, exactly. Things are moving so fast, you know. But I guess this morning protesters just pulled down a Confederate state.
I saw that.
Did you,
you know,
see that?
I saw them bring down the statue in, was it North Carolina?
Yeah.
And as much as I like the statue coming down part, but like to see them, like the girls kick the statue. Mm. I mean, it's just like, I get what they're doing and I understand where the anger and it just like bring down the statue, you know, but like to be shown is like a, it's just not a good image for our, for the resistance for the, to see them
right.
kicking a stat. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
and
I'm not trying
it
to
even off. I mean, that's not the way
to
take it down.
I support
you know?
That.
Right.
I support that part.
Okay, because it pretty much looked like Saddam Hussein's
yeah, that's what
statue
it reminded
coming
me of.
Down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, maybe that's going to be part of our history. Maybe it has to be. You know,
I mean, but I think those something. I think those statues need to come down.
Right.
I don't think they ever should have been there in the first place.
Mm. Yeah. Well, like we said, it's part of history, but somebody says history belongs in a museum. Maybe that's true. I don't know. But look, the way I look at it is this. If this, it's not even about offending. It's about, I think, it's about something very serious, you know. And there's a lot of people that still have a painful history.
I get that it's about history, but when you put things into a statue, there's a, you're, when you immortalize something like that, there's a, you're, it's for, because you're admiring, you want people to worship it and like respect it. Those,
wow.
Confederate soldiers and general, those are not people who should be our heroes.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's very interesting. I mean, these are interesting times with an interesting president, so we'll see what's going to happen. But I just wanted to bring up before we get into deeper stuff and bring in your friend, the world's fastest car. Mm-hmm. It's a Bugatti Chiron. It costs $3 million. It has 1,500 horsepower, 0 to 60 in under 2.5 seconds, and a top speed of over 260 miles an hour. And this car looks delicious, let me tell you.
Delicious.
It looks just as good as it drives, probably.
I've never been, like, a person to obsess about car. You know, people obsess, like, about celebrities, or, like, guys will be like, oh, that car, it makes me cream my pants, or whatever.
Right.
I hate that I use that term.
Right.
I just, because a car is an investment.
Yeah.
As soon as you drive it off the lot, it's like worth nothing.
Well, except for this one.
And
maybe
one
this
time,
one will be classic.
And if you
for
fuck it up,
$3 million, you know,
it can get into an accident, and then that's it.
That's true.
And then what's the point of owning a car like that if you can't drive it around anywhere?
Right.
To like rub it in people's
well,
faces.
Well, because it's only going to be a millionaire that keeps it in the garage and just drives it a few hours here and there. You
that's
know, you know, it's going
to
be that. It's not like a Toyota you drive around like crazy. You know. So, yeah, but it's a beautiful car, Bugatti, that's Italian, and they sure know how to make sports cars. What can I tell you? They're good with styling. All right, well, let's bring in your friend now so we can continue the conversation with him and not alienate him. Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Rachel, tell us who is joining
okay,
us.
Okay, our guest today is Ramon Rivas. He's amazing. Did I pronounce your name?
Rivas. You got close. You got as close
Rivas.
As most white people get.
Most white. Well, you know. I got to pronounce it with you know, the way our culture.
Yeah, no, that's
Rivas. He's incredible. I've actually when I used to work for Levity, the comedy company corporation. Mm-hmm. big brother of comedy. No, I promoted him for his shows. I don't think he ever knew it was me behind the computer. But and when I also worked at the Improv, we, you know, I would see him around and stuff. I always thought it was really funny. So
oh wow, so that's how you guys met and stuff.
That's how I know him. Yeah.
Oh,
comedy
I see.
And stuff. But
okay.
Yeah. And
so
I,
did you guys meet at a comedy club or something?
Yeah, we met
probably
randomly,
at the Improv.
Yeah, at the Improv, like over time, and then like I just moved to town in September from Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh wow.
So I'm still like learning the lay of the land here, but like I moved like right when I did a Comedy Central half hour last year, so like I moved like right when that happened. So it was like a weird like
oh, okay.
I'm new, but I've done things.
You've been around.
Yeah, you've been around. Yeah. Are you originally from Cleveland?
I'm originally from Cleveland, yeah.
That's interesting. Wow. What was that like growing up there?
I actually grew up a half hour west of Cleveland in the city's called Lorain, and it's a steel and auto city. So, like, it slowly died since the 80s. I've been alive, I watched the city just kind of, like, fall down.
Yeah.
And then Cleveland in general kind of had an economic downturn in like the 80s and 90s. But when the country dipped down in the 2000s, we were all kind of creeping our way out and figured out how to do things without a vibrant economy. Right. So we had like a really good like food industry and hospitality industry and just like kind of like experiences.
And you guys had really good sports teams at the time too.
The Indians and like, but it's very feast or famine when you go through sports.
No.
But, there definitely is like, I'm the same age as LeBron, so seeing his like economic impact on the city like as a whole when he's like there versus when he left versus when he came back.
Because didn't he get drafted in 2005?
Right? He got drafted in 2003.
Oh, okay.
2003, yeah.
Because I remember I was in high school when this happened, because I played basketball in high school and I was like a basketball fan, and I remember like this young kid, he's not that much older than me, and like already to the NBA and just like hearing about how good he is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Very cool. So did you grow up with sports and stuff? I mean, did you like sports early on?
I liked it, but I'm really not athletic enough to play myself.
Yeah, but spectator sports.
But spectator sports. So, like, I'm a fan of Cleveland, so I like all the sports teams. I like the Browns, I like the Indians, I like the Cavs. Sometimes that's a burden more than a thing. But, like, it was – I left Cleveland last June and July, so I was gone when they won the championship.
Right.
So, like, seeing people pour, like, I just saw through, like, friends' Instagram videos, like, people just, like, pouring onto the streets and just, like, high-fiving. Yeah. And, like, bars wanted to stay open later downtown, but they ran out of booze. So, like, people were just, like, really, like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And then, like, the championship parade had, like, so many people just crawling all over buildings, and it was cool to see that in a city where, like, I would ride my bike around those spots where, like, all those people are and, like, none of you were there.
So it's
cool to see, like, something. There are things that can bring people together in that city, because Cleveland is kind of weird. Like, we've had a lot of police shootings and we've had other issues. So it's, like, Cleveland last year hosted the Republican National Convention, and then earlier in the year hosted the Gay Games, which is the Olympics without the hate. So it's just a very, like... It's just a very, like, weird city that, like, kind of, it, I don't know. It's I love
coexist
it.
There
People
together.
Coexist there, but it's kind of villagey in the sense of, like, if you live in one part of town, you kind of stay and hang out in that part of town just because there's a sprawl to it. But it's weird because, like, I lived in Lorain. It's like 40 miles west of the city. I could get downtown to the comedy club in 28 minutes.
Right.
Which, like, in L.A., you couldn't cover that amount of time.
Yeah.
At all. It could take that long to just go 2 miles sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's a
so
weird.
You discovered that quickly when you moved to L.A.
Yeah, definitely.
So what made you decide to move?
I found a cheap apartment. I came out here for a visit, and I just found a place to live by myself for less than $1,000.
Really?
And I was just like, that seems like something that wouldn't come up again. I didn't have to do like a security deposit, so I just kind of like fell into a situation, and I was like, I'll do that for as long as I can. And then every time I'm running out of money, something comes up to give me money so I can stay like a little longer.
Right.
So it's,
and you've stayed since then.
Yeah, it'll be, it's been, but it's going on a year.
Very
so,
cool.
Yeah.
And you obviously like it here. So you
I'm adjusting to it. I'm learning to like it. Like I miss Cleveland every day, and I don't know if that's because I miss my family or because I miss the city, because sometimes they kind of felt like the same thing. Because I ran a lot of my own comedy shows and I run my own comedy festival there. So I'm attached to this community of like people who kind of supported what I did. So that I've seen people go from like casually like just hooking up to dating to like engaged to married to having a kid through just coming to the shows I put together.
That's so cool.
So it's like,
nice.
It's cool to like that same bringing people together thing on a far smaller scale of sports. But so I'm trying, like in Cleveland, I try to shift like, hey, y'all are super passionate about sports. Like it'd be really cool if like you gave a fraction of that to the arts, because then it's like so much more impactful.
Yeah.
But sure. It's a constant battle.
So do you have any siblings?
I have one sister.
Okay.
And then my dad is one of 17.
What?
So I have like a really big family, like extended family.
But my immediate
family is my mom, dad, my older sister, and then she has three kids.
Very
one of 17.
Yeah.
And from all from the same parents?
All from the same parents, yeah.
And what that, are family and I, that's not even like a kind that are you?
They're fractured right now. We've been like my grand I called her my Guala. My Guala, when she died, she was kind of the glue that held everyone together. And then when she passed, like this one had problems with that one, blah, 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 blah. And so like the family didn't like I remember when we were real young, we would always have things as a family together. Then it kind of dissipated, and then when she died, it went away completely. And then like the last few years, a couple cousins and aunts have put together like family reunions, and people come and kind of like do it. That actually was last weekend, and I missed it because I was here.
Aww.
So like I miss those sorts of things, but I'm out here like trying
working.
To like yeah, yeah trying to do things.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that a great observation though, that once the parents or the grandparents are gone,
mm-hmm.
It changes the situation, you know. It's as though you get along with the people that you do because that person is alive, you know.
Right. Well, because
they're good. Because, yeah, you wonder about how they would react to something, but you never really attempt it. You know, like with my brothers, for example, we always keep everything cool. But I think once my parents go, at least one of my brothers, we're not going to be in touch.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because like it's like she was the one everyone would go eat with, and you'd have a meal or a coffee over there every day. Like that's just what they did. Just because like they all love their mom enough to like want to be around her,
right?
And then so like she's getting the life energy from everyone visiting her. But then when she's gone and they have these pre-existing like beefs with each other that like at the end of the day like don't matter, but there is something to be said, like I put more stock in people who actually like spend time and interest with me versus
right.
like you're related to me, so I'm gonna just give you the benefit of the doubt.
Because
I have a big family. Some of them are very degenerate people who are like probably like I wouldn't hang out with,
right?
But you're related to me,
statistically,
so like that's
in
cool.
a family that right. large, you're gonna have
because
yeah.
family you don't get to choose. It's not like friends, you know.
It's like a life.
I would like a dodgeball game that you don't get to choose. You know, someone else is picking.
But
the
it's
team
also
for you.
Great because like they've led me to live a life that's weird enough that it's like it's unique, but it's universal because it connects with people.
Yeah,
right.
Because like my family is like just big and poor, so like that's something like a lot of people can cohabitate with.
Right,
and like my dad told me that my mom's so broke she had to move in with him to save money, and they've been divorced for like 15, 20 years. So like it's a testament to the times, but then also like it's my parents are divorced because my dad is too cool. So it's like it's just a struggle.
Yeah.
I feel like I was living in LA. I feel like so many people move in with their significant others just to save rent, and they won't, and they'll stay in these relationships longer than necessary just so they don't have to pay as much.
I stayed in Cleveland for a while and just would live with my family. I would do that I'd live with my dad, so I was uncomfortable in Cleveland.
Right. So it got you to like get out and like mm-hmm. motivate you. Nothing better to motivate you than living with someone you don't want to live with.
Yeah.
You know
yeah. That's the worst thing, man.
Like,
you know.
Seriously, just move back home, and it's like a boot camp. It's like Maury's boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. Wow. You know, I'm just a little distracted by my microphone, so I'm going to call my engineer in just a second. We'll adjust this. But tell me something. So, I imagine you went to high school and everything.
Yeah.
Did you choose to go to college after?
I did go to college. I went to 1 year of, 1 year at this liberal arts school called Denison, and I found it to be pretty racist.
Where was that?
It was in near Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
Just kind of like in the Bramble out there.
What? How is it racist? What happened?
Just like real weird, like in classes. Well, like at parties, like if I separated from my group, they'd be like, hey, do you know whose party this is? I'm like, oh, that just came with my friends. They're like, well, you got to go. It's a private party. And I'm like, okay.
Bye.
So like that would happen to me a lot. And then like in classes, they'd be like, get in groups, and then like no one would be in my group. And it was just really like, aside from my people I lived with on my floor, people were really cold. And I was like, I don't want to pay all this money to like feel like this for 4 years or get comfortable feeling like this.
Yeah.
And they also had like before, I knew it was weird off rip because like before freshman orientation, they had student of color orientation to like, because the minority enrollment was so small that so they had like all the minorities come in who were coming, then had a couple older ones, and then like, it was just weird. And then there was a student of color lounge where it's like, you should feel comfortable hanging out here.
And you guys got
like,
your own water fountain.
Yeah, that's really too cool. close to bathroom? That. Yeah, it's like, shouldn't the whole campus feel like a safe space for me? Like, it's a lot of that.
Fucked up. It's so that's, it's like that's separation the,
that's
inclusiveness.
The, yeah, that's the liberal the liberal side of it can be almost as bad as the other, the 100%. Right side, because it's too much. It's like, just let me be.
That's so, well, I went to like a lot of high schools and a lot of different colleges. I never found my place in the world, but I went to a Lutheran school. Like, my Jewish parents thought like, yeah, we're going to send her to the Lutherans to learn stuff. And there was like a small Jewish community, or like a couple Jewish kids that went to this Lutheran school, because there wasn't a Jewish high school. Yeah. And like, our parents didn't, we were like too white for public school in Vegas. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So one of the teachers thought it was a good idea to create an after-school Jewish group, which our parents were like, no way. Yeah. And she was just like trying to learn about like us so she could like convert us to like be Lutheran, or you know what I mean? Right. But it was just like, the intention was just like, it maybe was a good idea, but it like was not a good idea. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Like, any grouping up of like Jewish people or like minorities is just like not a cool thing.
I don't want you to just know where I am all the time. I'm just gonna slink around. And then so I transferred out of there and went to community college, and dropped out of there because I kept falling asleep in class and like,
really
was it, well I, but, yeah it was
but
just
I
weird.
Mean but I can't imagine growing up as one of 17 siblings. I mean,
no, his dad, that was my dad. His dad is,
but it was,
what do you mean? Oh, his dad is from the family of 17.
Yeah, and then that's, I'm that's yeah, right. Yeah.
So let me ask you, and that's what I wanted to ask you about. What was it like? I mean, that's obviously a different generation and everything, but I never imagined the woman would be able to go through so many births. Yeah, right?
I mean, and it's common. Like, there, I've met other people who have had like, you know, dozen, or like, I've met one person whose mom had like two more kids, but it's. I don't know. And then like, when you start,
she deserves a medal.
Yeah, when you start looking in,
or like her own parking space, like from the government,
something,
you know, something everywhere she goes.
And it's funny because like, you know, like nowadays, like Octomom was like a thing, got famous, and it's like, my grandma just got to like raise the kids. Like, that's what she got.
Yeah.
But like, when you start looking too far into it, it's like, she's had her first kid when she was 14, so like, maybe grandpa's like a little creepier than like I want to remember him.
People are like, you're so blessed 17 times over, you know?
Yeah. But it's crazy because they lived in Puerto Rico for like the first batch of kids, and then the steel mill in Lorain went down and like recruited, so they moved to Lorain with, I want to say like 8 kids, and they had like a couple more there, and then they moved back to Puerto Rico, and then my... grandma wanted to move back, so they moved back and forth like 3 times with like huge chunks of kids at a time, where like, how'd you do that
right.
Like, it just seems so stressful, so that, but really, like, I feel like when you live under those circumstances, you just make it work.
Figure it out.
Right, you figure it out as you go along. Yeah, I mean, that's bigger than a football team, for crying out loud, you know.
I can't even imagine having one kid.
Yeah
17.
Yeah,
I'm not responsible for that. It's a different time.
It's
I can't even charge my phone, you know, overnight. Yeah, I'm not
You can't remember to do that.
I don't.
Yeah, my dad, I don't know, he would just talk about how
Was he in the 17? Is he more towards the middle?
Towards the middle, lower end. So he's younger. He's probably like 4th or 5th youngest.
Who is like the old? Is there like one? Who's my like dad.
My dad has nephews and nieces that changed his diaper.
Oh my god, that's crazy!
Oh my god, man, it's like a whole different ball game, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really
and it it's not always cool though.
Right.
Like, cause like you'd be like, oh, that's cool. You probably got a lot of presents for the holidays. It's like, no, because there's so many kids, you right. don't get anything.
Not, or like you guys like got hand-me-downs from like just yeah. recycled, you know, yeah. generation.
Get Michael Jordan deodorant.
It's funny. And then you turn around and you guys are only two siblings, you mm-hmm. know, it's like, how drastic is that?
That's
you,
cool.
Your dad learned better, knew better than yeah. to do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Know? That's very funny. Let's get, I guess Taylor Swift won her case of the groping, you know. This
Did thing. You see the photo?
Which photo?
Google image the photo of her, of the photo in question. TMZ put it up.
So it's actually up. I mean, it was taken, it was videotaped or photographed?
Of course it was at a step in, yeah, the photo.
It was like inside the studio
Google
or something?
Google image TMZ, or Google image Taylor Swift being groped.
Right. Okay.
The picture is up. You can see what the quick picture that they're talking about.
How interesting is that? Wow. So it was.
And, like, and she's only going to have him pay $1.
But just,
to prove.
Yeah, yeah. She just wanted you to know
to
you
prove that
me.
She's not. Yeah.
She's not
to prove
lying,
that she's.
Yeah.
No, that she's not doing it for any
right.
reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
doing it just so you held accountable for being
right.
kind of creepy.
Yeah. The guy is such a creepo, though,
mm-hmm.
too. He deserved it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, guys, it's. I mean, there are some guys that have absolutely this feeling that they can do anything they want.
Are you kidding?
You know,
President
no
Trump, and I quote,
yeah.
when they're famous, they let you do. When you're famous, they let you do whatever
yeah.
you want.
Grab you, their pussy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But.
It's like, just ask first, man.
Yeah, right?
Get that consent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's all
I mean,
you got to do.
Right.
Taylor might like when you grab her titty, but mm-hmm. like if you don't ask, you can't just.
Yeah,
right.
You got to be more swift. Sorry.
Yeah. That's a. It's.
I'm sorry.
It was a good one. It was a good one. I liked it. Have to be swift. Awesome. So, when did you fall in love with comedy? When did you decide you're going to do comedy, Ramon?
I was always kind of. I was always funny. Like, I won like class clown in high school. I would do like weird. I'd sell candy out of a briefcase. Like, I just was just a weird kid, and I was always smart but lazy, which are all like kind of like fits in with comedy.
It goes together,
and,
right?
And
yeah.
I was just kind of aimless. Like after I finished going to school, I was just kind of like working like aimless jobs. I wound up stumbling into a job at a law firm. I just pulled files, open mail, like. I had to do the dishes too, which was weird.
Right.
But
I'm a dishwasher at a law firm.
Yeah. You know, I'm like,
just for the benefits.
You're
you
all
know?
Adults. You can wash your own dishes.
I
yeah.
know.
And so I was working there and I saw an ad in the newspaper for a stand-up comedy class at like the community college.
Right.
So I just signed up for it and I'm like, oh, I'll meet like other people my age who are like trying to do comedy. Like, it'll be cool. And then like I was the youngest person in there by like 30 years. Like, it was
sick.
it was like a bucket list type of thing for other people.
Right.
And like, so I just, it just gave me like a first performance in other places I could go do it, and then I just kept going, if that makes sense. And about a year in, I started.
It does. That's what you're doing, right? I mean, you keep going, you keep
yeah.
doing
I've
this.
Hit yeah like I hit a little algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Is that the proper
term?
Maybe.
No,
probably.
I think it's just rhythm.
And just some rhythm.
Triggered it.
Yeah.
Triggered
I don't
the
have rhythm, but
the
like,
algorithm.
It's. There's rhythm.
Yeah.
yeah.
About a year in, I started treating it like a full-time non-paying job. And
yeah.
it still mostly is sometimes.
Yeah, right.
But it's one of those things that, like, you can't.
Do you feel like you have to do it?
You have to do it. Yeah. Right. I definitely, like. I feel out here, I feel a little creatively stifled because in Cleveland, I ran so many of my own shows and worked at the clubs that I could just like go up, talk about whatever I wanted, stumble into something that was funny through
right.
like failing into it, and then like work over the weeks to like press that into a joke.
Right.
Where like here, I don't have the stage time to just like spit things out and see what's. Functions with the audience,
right?
And I don't like sit and write things down. Like, I just have to like talk,
mm-hmm. right? Exactly.
So I don't yeah, like it's yeah. weird to like here. I don't have that, so I feel less viable to myself.
Oh.
But I'm more viable to like other people because like you're in LA now. That's where you're supposed to be.
Right.
But I feel like Cleveland was a great place to like fail anonymously. Because I could just like get up and just do comedy, and like I'm not trying to get on TV. I'm not trying to get fame. I'm just trying to like.
Do work on your craft.
Yeah, just trying to do this thing.
Yeah.
And it's gone okay.
Yeah.
What's the What's the cannabis industry like in Cleveland?
It was up for full legalization a few years ago, and it didn't get passed because they attached it. Like, if it passed, there would only have been like 10 medical people who could grow. Yeah. And those 10 people were the monopoly who put the bill together. Right. So people were like, I don't want to vote for that. So it didn't pass. And then it just got passed for medicinal, but not for flower, like not flower medicinal, just like concentrates. And like, you pretty much have to be like dying to get a
card. Or epilepsy
like, or stuff like that.
That sucks, man.
Behind
the times.
It's behind the times because like, I'll go somewhere where, like Denver in my travels and I can just go, like I would go to, like people go to liquor stores, you buy it, and then you go do it like an adult. Like anything else, like, and I get real kind of like upset, but like, because I don't drink at all, and people kind of will always kind of like look down on me for smoking weed, and I'm like, you're the one who's making it a bad thing, because like I can sit here and smoke for every drink you have, and I will be fine at the end of the night, and you will be a mess,
right?
Yeah,
and at best, we'll both be fine. You know what I'm saying? But you can't. I mean, you have your poison, I have mine.
Yeah.
You know, you can't judge me because
at the end of the day, you're going to be beating your future ex-wife, right, and I'm going to be eating.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I mean, if anything, we can be condescending to alcoholics.
I'm super condescending to alcoholics. I don't give a fuck. I judge people.
Yeah, yeah.
They're drinking.
I try not to judge them because they buy tickets.
Exactly. Honestly, like, drink. It's true. Like, have you ever performed for any stoners yet? Like, have you done any?
Yeah, okay. I did a show in Denver at the First International Church of Cannabis.
Tell me what you think about this, because in my opinion, because I do this, my stuff in the weed industry, and they're asking me to do these like events, and I get there, and like, I'm still new to this whole world, so like, everything is weird to me. I'm like a kid, you know, learning to walk. Mm-hmm. And I love when people drink, they think I'm fucking great. Like, anyone's great, right? But when they're smoking, it's just like, they want to see funny, they don't want to hear funny shit so much as they want to see funny shit.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when you get stoned, you don't want to watch, like, necessarily Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
You want to watch Cosmos, you know? Right. Or like... Yeah.
It depends.
I mean, I think, I don't know. Like, I think
it definitely slows people's minds down just enough to where they're like, what?
Yeah. Or like, they're laughing, but they're like inside. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have the smile on their face. So you're like, are they laughing? Do they get it?
Yeah.
But they're, I don't know. So it's interesting performing for stoners versus.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It would be interesting, you know. But like I said, you know, but yeah, Rachel does judge because she grew up in a judge.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't judge.
In a judging home.
No, I was literally thinking. No, I mean, I honestly, it's a front. I don't really judge. I accept people for who they are. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whatever you want to be, I'll take, come as you are. But like, I was literally thinking, like, my mom was a judge. She was so judgment, like, she's no wonder, you know what I mean?
Right.
That was her fucking job.
That's what I'm saying, you know?
You
had to grow up in a home like that.
That's what you do,
I know,
you know?
Well,
you grow up in a home like that, it'd make you crazy, you know? I mean, yeah.
Well, and then I was like, she's literally judgmental, because she also, like, she was in charge of putting together a mental health court in Las Vegas. So she was like a judge for literally people who are mentally ill. I'm like, she was judgmental.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
It really is, man. Wow. It's got to be hard to grow up in a family like that, you know? But there you go.
I mean,
go,
let's talk about it some more.
So that's where you got your judgmental tendencies. I feel like I got, from my parents, I got a do whatever needs to be done, like, type of mentality. Because, like, my dad is very handy. So he's like, oh, my car's broke, I'll just fix it. Or, like, oh, like, he just figured
things out. That's a better quality to have. Well, I got judgmental.
Yeah.
I'm not judgmental. I'm the black sheep in my family. I think that's the problem is I'm the least judgmental out of all of them. Like, my decisions are, if, like, they're all the lawyers. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to go work in the weed industry. Like, you know what I mean? There's no judgment
there. You're the antichrist. You're the total opposite. You're kryptonite for them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Your qualities that you inherited are respectable.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, if you had a child and
Why would you ever say that to me?
Because I want you to play a thought experiment.
Okay.
If you had a child and you had... You probably have a certain vision of what you'd want him to be like. And what if they grew up totally different from
what
you want?
I would want him to be like, have four legs, furry, kind of like an English bulldog. Like okay. that would be. But what would you? What that was the question? What do you want me to do?
No, it's not that important. Fuck it. But so, Ramon, do you also have? So comedy doesn't pay the bills quite yet.
It does. Like I've made more money off of comedy the last year, but I'm just as broke as I've always been.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Well,
just because the expenses here are more, because mm-hmm. like
right.
instead of living in Cleveland and staying with my family and like being able to save money and travel, now I pay rent out here and my bills, and I have to buy plane tickets to go make money.
Right.
So like I'm kind of like always like
spend money to you're like a business money.
Yeah
you,
so like I'm waiting on like checks to come in yeah I'm waiting on checks to come in like I just got I like paid my rent late last month but I paid this month in advance and then I was like all right I don't know where money's coming from and then I got a check from something I did like 2 months ago and I'm like oh I completely forgot about that great
I love that
so that's just how like it flows like it's just very like some months I'll go weeks without anything and then like yay, and then like back down.
Yeah.
Anyone who wants to be a comedian, it's super fun.
Mm-hmm. But I'm also
it's that easy.
I've always kind of been of a mind to like, if like I feel like if I went and got a little day job, the universe would be like, oh, you need money, but you're doing something that will give you money, so you're good. Where like now I don't have that, so it's like, oh, damn it, we gotta give him some money,
right?
And then like something will come.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
Yeah,
the universe takes care of you.
Yeah.
If you, it's like, have you read that book, The Alchemist?
No, I never read
it's
it.
It's a really
I,
good
I've
book.
Heard of it.
Have you read The Alchemist?
No.
It's a really cool story, but it's all about like kind of like whatever your ultimate, what your purpose is, you know, like on this earth, like. And this book is one of those books that if you're ever at a point in your life where you're like, you know, what am I doing, you know, you need answers or whatever, these are one of these like self-help
right,
you know,
but
right. it's written by a Brazilian Brazilian author. It was translated into English, but it one of the quotes is like, when you start, you know, being your truth and pursuing what you're supposed to be doing, like the universe conspires to help, you know what I mean, like good things will come when you just get in that direction,
like,
and path of like,
yeah, it's like you connect with it. That's what we were talking about with the guest yesterday,
yeah,
and stuff, you know. So, you know, talking about that, what comes to mind when I say God to you? What,
to me?
Yeah, to you. What do you?
Oh, it just got deep.
Because we need to get a little deeper here. But
what
does God mean to you?
I feel like God means it's a security that a lot of people need or want, and I'm in a position where I try to live like a good, like I feel like a lot of people use God as justification for their behavior or for why they're not doing something for someone else, where I just try to be like a good person,
mm-hmm. right,
and then like what, and like God's influencing that. And like, I don't know, like I don't go to church actively.
No, but do you think there's God? What does God
I believe there's a God, but he's whatever people need him to be.
I see. So there's, so you're saying man created God rather than God created man? What would you say?
I think it's both. Like if no one thought about him, he would still be there, but
right.
he wouldn't have any impact because you're not thinking about him.
Like if we didn't label, if society didn't construct this idea of the guy in the sky kind of thing.
Right.
He would still, whatever it is, would still exist.
But
you know?
But there's not only two options, and which are a guy in the sky or no guy in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other options.
There's a lot.
God
that's
is,
what I
know?
Mean. Like, he manifests in whatever way people need him to. So, like, the one thing I've noticed is that, you know, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, all these other things kind of have like the same tenets. It's just different stories to get you mm-hmm. to the same point.
Right.
And people get so caught up in that and like mine is right and yours is wrong or this, that, and the
right.
other. It's like,
but that's religion. I'm talking
that's religion.
About God. You
but,
know?
And
God is different
God gets,
from religion.
God gets processed through religion. So it's hard to talk about one without the other.
Not necessarily. I'll tell you why. Because the thing is, when I think of God, I think of the power that created all this, the intelligence, mm-hmm. the intelligence behind all this, right? Because
there was intelligence behind all of this.
I think so.
Oy.
No, I don't think so. I know so, because let me tell you something. In 14 billion years, which is probably how long it took, it would take to get from stardust to what we are today. think about it. It's not like we're just made up. I mean, we have like a self-contained system. Mm-hmm. The intelligence behind that, the way that we, that the whole ecosystem within either Earth or the entire universe mm-hmm. is sustaining itself. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, you think the planets are there mm-hmm. for a reason, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I think there's like an invisible thread of like,
right.
you know, it, at least in my life, like everything seems to all be connected together, even the people I meet and mm-hmm. everything that I do. Like there's something all tying it
because,
together.
Do you think animals believe in God? Does God exist to animals?
God exists to everybody because it's not an opinion about God. Yeah, you know yeah. what I'm saying? I mean, it's either there or it's not. But the thing is, yeah, I mean, to me, it's like if I were like the planner of this, mm-hmm. the engineer of the planet, I would create animals, give them a program, and make them
maybe we were like algorithm.
I like that God is super nerdy.
Yeah,
right.
He's like, yeah, he's got the algorithm of Earth, right?
Exactly,
maybe we were like his rough copy, and there's like a super better, awesome Earth that's out
right.
there that is,
or maybe it's just a chess game for him. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I mean, moving the pieces and waiting to see
I'm
what's
so
going on.
So glad to be a part of his chess game.
Yeah, but you never know. But the thing is that. I have to admit, so I'm totally convinced there's God. I totally separate that because I look at God as more from the scientific point of view.
Interesting.
You know what I'm
because
saying?
Because it's interesting because most people pit science and God kind of on
right.
the opposite
yeah.
side.
I think it's
but
the
it's like
same.
I feel, yeah, they do.
It is. I mean, Albert Einstein said that. He said, you know, I'll rephrase, but he said, the more I discover about science, the closer I feel I get to God. And that's what he said, not religion, but mm-hmm. God.
Yeah.
And that's because what happens is
you
understand science, you get to the edges of science and you realize, wait a minute, I can't explain
have you
this
ever,
any
exactly,
other way.
Have you ever seen certain parts of the ocean and like all the shit those crazy creatures do? Like there's like some
yeah,
intelligent design behind, like the ones mm-hmm. with all the teeth.
But
and like
what
the
I'm
crazy,
saying.
Like
that's
different
what I'm
colors.
Or look at ants, for example. I woke up with ants in my bathroom this morning.
That's a good sign.
I'm thinking, is it?
No,
I don't think it is at all. It's just to make you feel better. They would say it's a good sign, mm-hmm. but it's shitty when you have ants. Not that many. There are only a few.
Your landlord's
but it made
like, that's
me think,
a good sign.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good. Luck.
But it
They're
made
like,
me
oh,
think
Sam,
of the times when I used to. I remember when I was in South Africa. I had like a patio in the back. And I would sit there and get high, and there was like a colony of ants like in the middle of the grass there, and so they would walk in like long lines and things like that, and I would sit there and just watch this high and try to figure out the algorithms they're working according to.
Aren't they working for a queen?
Yeah, but
I think that's
but,
great.
But you see, but the thing is, do you really think they think about what they're doing? They're just doing it. And that's a program. It's like
it's what they're creating, biologically designed to do.
That's what I'm saying, but where does it come from? You see? And the thing is that they're saying that everything we know right now that we've ever known is only 5% of what's actually out there.
Mm. Well, there's all, remember she was talking about yesterday, we had this like really cool science fiction writer on and
right.
she was talking about how there's like all of these dimensions. Like I'm super into space. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
You
know,
I mean, you have a lot of rings, obviously.
Yeah.
You're into space.
I'm like, yeah. And I'm into fashion. But and she was like, there's a fourth dimension. There's like things that us as humans, we're not built to comprehend. You know, mm-hmm. we can't see to our eye. Like think about a dog whistle. We can't hear it, but dogs can hear it.
Right.
You know what I'm
and
saying?
It's
but
there.
It's there. So there's probably like things in the universe and things.
Oh,
you know,
there's a lot of things. I mean, all the think of all the spectrum of light that we don't see,
mm-hmm.
you know, like infrared mm-hmm. and ultraviolet and you know, and ultrasound. All these are different waves, you know,
yeah,
and in different frequencies we don't see or hear them.
And then emotional waves too, and so many people are able to tune those out.
Yeah.
Like I had a weird. I'll compress this as much as possible, but I took my nephew in Cleveland to get ice cream at his favorite spot. And it was like there was a street festival happening on the street, which is called Dingus Day. It's like a Polish made-up holiday where, like, the women run around with, like, pussy willows and they hit dudes they think are cute. And then dudes have little plastic squirt guns and they squirt girls who they think are cute. And then everyone's, like, drinking on the street. They had a...
they should have this in Vegas.
Right? It's, like, just a dumb excuse for people
Sounds
to drink
great.
Outside. And so, like, we're walking down there... And I had just been talking to my nephew about how he has a lot of empathy, which is like, don't let people make you feel weird about that, because it's almost a superpower in today's day and age. And I was like, how does this, what do you pick up energy wise here? And he was like, this is going to sound weird, but like happy, but like with sad, like right underneath it. And I just assumed it's because people were drinking. He doesn't like drinking, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then we're leaving. And as we're leaving, we pass the rec center where Tamir Rice got shot. He's a 12-year-old who the police rolled up and shot in less than 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And it was less than a mile from where this street festival was. And I had a weird sense of deja vu because I had protested down that street one time. And the last time I was walking on that street with it blocked off, I was surrounded by like 100 police officers, really? But in a group of like 50 people just marching down the street.
Yeah.
So it was like very surreal. And then so now, like, now I was protesting the cop shooting a kid with a toy gun. And then there was all these cops. And then now I'm in an area where all these people have toy guns. And there's four cops, and everyone's just drinking, having fun.
Yeah. Right.
And it's that disconnect of none of those people picked up that this is probably a bad idea this close to that spot.
Right.
It's probably a bad idea that they had a Polish Lives Matter shirt made that, like, is just kind of insensitive given the temperature of everything. So it's just a lot of things that, like, people didn't think of, but my 15, 16-year-old nephew
picked up on
without even knowing any of that.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing, whether you can connect to certain things in life, you know. And absolutely.
Which I feel like God is an energy that people connect to or don't connect to.
Right, exactly. You know, I look at it as
it's like weed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, think of radio waves, right? If you don't have the antenna, you can't listen to the radio, you know, on radio waves. It's the same with cell phones. You get into certain frequencies. So if you can connect, if you raise the antenna and you connect with that, you can see and feel it and know it, you know. But, you know, I can certainly see how when you get to the edge of science, you have no more explanations and you go, well, there's got to be God.
Yeah.
You know? And then you look at things that happen around, you go, how do we get emotions? How do we get intelligence in our, you know, I mean, because we're different from animals, from plants, you know.
And we're different from each other. Like, what makes me emotional won't make her emotional, won't make you emotional.
So we have the same building blocks, but we're different, you know. And not only that, but you won't find another person that's quite like you. That's what I'm saying. And it's unbelievable. It really is. So, to wrap it up, Ramon Rivas, right?
Rivas, yes, that's correct.
How can people find you?
They can find me online. My website and name on social media is Blazer Ramon, B-L-A-Z-E-R Ramon, R-A-M-O-N, because I wear a lot of sport coats. And if you live in the Midwest or if you have family out there, I'm doing the Accidental Comedy Fest at Hilarities. It's Labor Day weekend at the end of the month. I got 46 comics from around the country coming to downtown Cleveland to do a comedy festival. Doug Benson, Ron Funches, a bunch of
people. So you're still involved there?
I'm still involved there.
That's his festival. He puts it all on himself.
Really?
I've been doing it. This is the sixth year of it. So, like, it's cool to, like, I started it at under a bridge. It was a comedy stage at another festival, and it was under a bridge. And now it's moved, like, a half mile, but, like, changed a lot. Like, it's jumped in format and form. And it's cool to, like, this year, like, I have Comedy Central sending someone to, like, just be at the festival and come to Cleveland and kind of see what the city's about. And I'm like, that's cool to me. It's like
that's
that same
awesome.
It's like that same feeling of those people I saw go from dating to married, getting those people to just come to Cleveland just because I'm hard-headed and years ago was like, I can't afford to live in these other cities. I'm going to just do this thing here.
Right.
Now I'm able to bring aspects of those other cities to Cleveland and kind of just show it off.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Ramon Rivas, thank you so much for joining us,
thanks for having me.
You're awesome, Rachel. Yep. Thanks again for all the great connections you have.
Thank you.
And one more thing, I guess, is tomorrow. Oh, well, we've got, like, guests for the next 3-4 weeks, like, every day.
Really?
Yeah, every day.
Cool.
So, and a lot of different things and a lot of different topics, obviously, like it always is here. So we hope you continue to stay with us. We really appreciate it. And that's it. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.